A. Erre lesz B. I. Mi. We want to address the relationship of the religion, of the religious community of Muslims to the religious community of Judaism and Christianity from a knowledge of how the Quran addresses the goodness of the two people, the people of Judaism and the people of Christianity. And we begin by acknowledging that we have in common revelation from God through prophets that are named in the scriptures or in the revelation given to the Muslims, to the Jews, Christians, and Muslims. One of these prophets is named in the Quran Ibrahim, on him be peace, is called Father by the three people of the great religion, by Jews, by Christians, and by Muslims. And it has been said that we are tied together in a belief in Abraham, or in what is called sometimes by some of the Muslim imams from overseas as the Abrahamic faith. And we know that in the Quran, Allah refers to the faith as the faith of Abraham, the faith of Ibrahim, the faith of Abraham, the upright one. In the Quran, the term people of the book, is used to identify Christians and Jews, and we know that when we hear the expression people of the book, it is saying, the scripture is saying, Allah's words in the Quran is saying, that we have a relationship with those people, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. There are many prophets named in the Quran other than Abraham. All of the well-known prophets, as you know, they are listed in the Quran. Moses and Jesus and many others that are well-known in the scriptures of the three great religious communities. Peace be on the prophets. We share together then not only a belief in one God, but we share together a belief in the continuation of revelation and prophecy and prophethood, beginning with the earliest prophets to the last. Now we know that, unlike Muslims, the people of Judaism have yet to recognize Muhammad as a prophet, and we also know that the people of Christianity, on the whole, although we have some small denominations in Christianity, and I wouldn't be surprised if you could find some small groups of Jews who acknowledge the Prophet Muhammad, but I don't know of them. I do know some small denominations, unpopular denominations of Christians who acknowledge Prophet. They give the respect and refer to him as a prophet of God. However, the point is that we Muslims, we acknowledge all of the prophets They are acknowledged in the Quran. We must accept them. We acknowledge them as being prophets from the one and the same God. Highly glorified is He. In the Quranic Arabic, His name is Allah, and He has many attributed names. Many attributed names in the Quran. It is important for us to also know that these big bodies of people, great bodies of people, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, have also been affected by revelation that we, a connection that we have with revelation. We have been all affected by that. So we find that there will be a likeness of spirit which we will share with Christians. And I believe there is a likeness of spirit that we will share with Jews also, although they're different, they're not the same spirit. And a commitment that we share, a commitment to serve God on this earth and to promote what we believe to be God's will for man on this earth. I don't think there's too much difference in how we perceive what God's will is for man on this earth. If I understand Judaism and the life of Jewish people on the whole, generally speaking, I find that they are conscious of not only living for themselves, but they are conscious of making a contribution, of living in a way that they make a contribution also to the progress of the world community, the world society of man, so that the world society of man, our mankind, will be moving closer and closer to what God wants for man on this earth. When we look at the history of the Jews, we find many times in their history where they were advancing or promoting service to the general community of people, not just to themselves as Jews. And we know, whereas the Jews might differ from us in that we are outgoing, well, I should say some of us are outgoing. We are supposed to be outgoing. We are supposed to be people carrying our message to the world of mankind. And we tend to be public with our message. And we know that the Jewish religion is mostly given right in the synagogue. It's given in their synagogue. But the Jewish influence is broad, very broad. And I'm only doing what that song says, accentuate the positive. Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm accentuating the positive. And that's what means everything to me, the positive. We know that the Jewish people, their life, have touched the people that they have lived among, have influenced the people that they have lived among. Their dedication to education, to the intellect, to improving the intellect of man, to developing the sciences, to promoting knowledge and science, have influenced many people, many nations, and many nations owe something to their work and their influence. We have to acknowledge that. The Western world owe a great deal to the influence, the work and the influence of the Jewish people in promoting, I could just say civilization, but to be more specific, education, science, and culture. Education, science, and culture.
Christians, as we know, for a long time, seen that Christians were held back from their mission. I'm talking about the Christian people as a world body also. We're talking about these groups as world bodies. Christians were held back for a long time from their mission. After the centuries of persecution, when the church was established as the Western Church, we know that we had bright minds, great minds in Christianity, in Christian leadership, but the church believed that it should dominate, that it should control everything. And it seems that the church believed that it had to wait for God and just keep the masses from being taken over by the Satan or by the devil. Seeing that that was the position of the church, that it felt it wrong to be, to educate its leaders, give them the wisdom, the revelation, the divine wisdom, and rule society so that society wouldn't be taken over by Satan. But the church for a long time, as you know, if you studied the history of the church, during the early centuries, during the several centuries after Christ, Jesus, peace be on him, you know that the church for a brief period of time did not promote, in fact it did not promote education for the general masses of people. And it did not promote education for women, not only the general masses, but not even for women. It did not promote education for women. And it is just reasons, really, in the history of Christianity or the church that we see in the change, whereas the Christians coming into their real mission, the mission that they were held back from for centuries, for several centuries, and that is the mission to promote the advancement of the intellect of man, the freedom, the liberation, and advancement of the intellect of man or mankind, meaning woman also. That came recently. Martin Luther, as you know, he rebelled inside that old church order, and behind Martin Luther came what we know to be the Protestant movement, and also what we know to be the Renaissance. And Muslims take a lot of credit for that, because we believe that the Christians, in studying what Allah had revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, the prayers and the peace be on him, and in studying how we perceive the role of a religious people on earth, they begin to question their own leadership, and with Martin Luther in the forefront of that, they begin to come up with different conclusions, and as to how Christians should live on earth and what they should be promoting as their priority. So we saw a great movement of change, a movement for liberation, a movement for liberal propagation, or the free and generous propagation of knowledge, promotion of the sciences, promotion of justice. And that too is where we have a common tie. We three great bodies of people, we call Jews, Christians, and Muslims, we have an idea of how justice is to be promoted on this earth. It's not just justice in man's concept or perception. It is justice as God intends that justice be promoted or established on this earth. It is a justice that God approves of. And this brings us to an idea of destiny and progress. Destiny and progress. I believe that Muslims have our own special vision for promoting progress on earth. I believe that we have our own special way of perceiving the destiny. But I believe that the end, the conclusion, the end result will be the same for the three major groups, for Jews, for Christian and for Muslim. And the end result is really is that we serve God to make a contribution to the progress of man on this earth as God wants man to progress. God wants man to progress as an obedient servant to Him. God wants man to progress with his life intact, with his whole life intact, his moral life as well as his rational life. God wants the whole life to be intact. God wants man to go forward with the best of his resources that God created him with. And the best and most precious resource that God created the man with, and the woman, is the human intelligence, the intellect. God wants us to go forward with that. And I believe we all see the destiny and its conclusion in the same way. That man is to be helped and aided by his fellow man who believes in God so that he can realize more and more of his excellence that God created him with. I'm not going to refer to any language and any particular body of knowledge to do this, to achieve what I want to achieve here today. I'm only addressing what I see as common focus, common interest, and a common belief in a conclusion or in a destiny. Our idea of progress should be seen in the light of what God has revealed concerning man's great identity and his excellence. His excellence. In Quran, Allah says He's going to make on this earth a khalifa. A khalifa. How do we understand this khalifa? We understand the khalifa when we see the khalifa in the narration, in the revelation concerning this khalifa. God says, I'm going to make in the earth a khalifa. This khalifa, some will say it means an agent to serve God. An agent in the earth that will serve God. And some will say a ruler. A ruler in the earth. A ruler. Someone who will rule. It's both. God is going to put in the earth one who is going to be responsible to God for himself and for everything that he has influence or some authority over. That's what it means. He's going to make in the earth an intellect that will be responsible to God for himself and for everything that he has authority or influence over. Or for everything given into his charge. And if we listen to the language of the Quran concerning this khalifa and make the right connections, we see that God gave this particular khalifa in Quran the same that God gave man in the Bible. The Bible says that God created the man and gave him dominion over all the things. Whatever's in the land, whatever's in the sea, gave him dominion. The Quran doesn't use the term, Allah in the Quran doesn't use the term dominion, but Allah says, and we know that this is the same idea that's being addressed. This is the same language. Only one language is in the Quran, another language is in the Bible. God says that He has made subservient, or He has made everything in the sky and in the earth to yield its value, to yield its resources to man. That He has made whatever's in the earth, and whatever's in the water, whatever's in the sky, He has made it to yield its work is utility to man. He wants that to be utilized by man. And he has made the resources in the earth, in the water, in the sky, to accommodate that, to accommodate man. They won't rebel against man. No, they will accommodate man. They will yield their utility. They will be pleased to submit their utility and their resources for man's use, for mankind, man and woman. To me, the perception, the concept, the perception of man, his role on this earth, his destiny on this earth, is the same for the three great faiths. For the Jews, for Judaism, for the Christians, for Christianity, for the Muslims, for Islam, for Islam. They're the same. And this is where the value is, the real value is. The real value, the real importance for us in religion is man, his identity in God's eye, under God's eye, and his purpose on this earth as established by God. That is the real, real important matter in religion. Everything else is kind of tied to that as being incidental, isn't it? Yes, once God made a man with that great nature, with that great potential, with that great purpose on earth, with that great destiny, then everything else just happens automatically. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to God. Now, I said we're accenting the positive. I know there are many questions coming in your mind about the differences. The differences are always staring us in the face. It's not the differences that help us. The things that we have in common that help us. So, we need to give more time to looking at the things that we share in common and less time to the things that divide us. Then we all can progress. We don't only have this connection in Scripture and this connection with the prophets and this connection with the perception of man, the concept and perception of man as a creature on earth responsible to God for the utilizing of all natural resources. All the natural resources. But we have also something else. We have a history. In Spain, Muslims, Jews, and Christians cooperated for the advancement of civilization. That's a great history we should never forget. The 500 or 600 or more years that Muslims, Jews, and Christians enjoyed peace. You know, America is only 200 and some years old, and people who came to this country and found the Native Americans here, ones we call Indians, that actually they haven't been here no more than about 500 years, correct? Only about 500 years. And we're talking about a history of an Islamic state in Spain that lived for better than 500 years, enjoying cooperation. For Christians, the Muslims and the Jews, working together to promote the good life, the advancement of the excellence in man. Now we know that that was lost. The Muslims lost the rule, lost Spain. And the Christians took over that leadership. And the Christians have been the ones in the lead of the sciences and finally industry and now technology. They can't claim not even their own great contribution without acknowledging the contribution of Muslims, the contribution from Islam. And it seems that now we're coming into another turn, another change. We find that the people who are coming into the sciences and into the technology are not limited to one people anymore. The world has become one community. And they are coming into these sciences and they are making great contributions. They are leading man, the progress of man now, and they are represented by all people. Asians, Europeans, Asians, Americans, all people are represented now in this great effort to advance the life of man on this earth so that we realize more and more of the excellence that we are created with, or that we have in our very maker, our very human maker, the intellect, most important of all, the human intellect. How do we know that man is to be seen principally as an intellect created by God? From the Quran. God said to the angels, I am born to make a Khalifa in the earth. And the angels were disturbed by that. They didn't have the knowledge that God had of man making, and of his fate on earth, his potential, his destiny. They didn't know it. So they didn't trust a human being that would be free to use his own mind on his own, to think on his own. They didn't trust that. See, the angels are seen as beings that don't think on their own. They only carry out the orders of God. As Allah says in the Quran, and on the night of power. Say the angels descend therein, obeying every order of God. Obeying every order of God. So they're not like men, human beings, to reason on their own or to make judgments on their own. So the angels were greatly disturbed that God was going to create such creatures and give that creature responsibility for the fate of society on the earth. Not that God is not always in charge, you know that. But he trusts man with his own life and with his own destiny on this earth. So, God told Adam, or the man that he was creating, to tell the angels their name. And the language of the Quran, our language of the Quran, the words of God say, that God taught him, Allama, Allama, Adama, Alasma, Kulla, that God taught this man. So this story begins with God giving knowledge to a human being, to a creature, human being, addressing his intellect. So that is enough for us to conclude then that when God conceived man to create him, he conceived man as an intellect, as an intellect. And he said to the angels who didn't like to acknowledge this man as being worthy of this great role that God was creating him for, he said to them, when I have inspired him, or when I have breathed into him of my spirit, when I have inspired him of my own self, or when I have breathed into him of my spirit, then bow down, submit to him, etc. So what does this add to this? It tells us this, that man's intellect alone will get him in trouble. The angels were right. The angels were right. Man's intellect alone will get him in trouble. When I mean say alone, I mean under his authority, only.
man's intellect under man's authority only will get him in trouble. But God says, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, or when I have inspired him of my own self, then accept him, submit, make submission, make acceptance. Huh? So we find that this is not only in Islam, this is in Judaism, this is in Christianity. The belief that man can only realize his great destiny that God created him for when he comes into a knowledge of God's plan. When he comes into a knowledge of God's plan for his life, God's will for his life. When he comes into a knowledge of his purpose as a creature created by God, that's when he can really benefit. That's when he can really be trusted to be responsible for himself and his environment and to advance the great life. Yes. Now at this point, I want to say that I think I've established the connection, the great connection, the most important connection for the three great faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, by Islam. If we accept that, then we have to accept that we should value each other more than we value other bodies of society. Muslims, Christians, and Jews, we should value each other more than we value people of other religions or people of other persuasions. We should certainly value each other more than we value the people that don't give a care about God, that think little or nothing of God, that don't even want to be bothered with the idea that they are accountable to a God. Certainly we should care more about each other than we care about people like that. We should have an alliance. We should have an alliance. And our alliance should be for the purpose of protecting our common interest against those people who don't share our ideas. Criminal people, immoral people, godless people, people who profane sacred things, people who care nothing about whether a synagogue is safe in a neighborhood from vandals, or whether a church is safe from vandals, or whether a mosque is safe from vandals, from people who will vandalize it, will destroy it, will profane it, will disrespect it in an ugly, shameful way. We should have an alliance against such people, against such threats. And we know the great history of the vandals. And believe me, if they get an opportunity, we'll have another wave of vandals, just like that one, or worse. We share a common desire, a common interest in the destiny of man. So we should be in some kind of alliance. We should have some kind of meeting together where we study together the state of the world in light of what we know God wants for the world, and then share with each other our perceptions, share with each other our concerns, so that we be an alive body of people, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, protecting the interests of man as we perceive it to be on this earth. And that's happening. Don't think it's not happening. We have Muslims, top level of leadership from different parts of the Islamic world, Pakistan. I know two great figures in Pakistan, and Nawab Khan
and for Dr. Hamdani. They are respected and valued by not only Christian and Jew, but Buddhist and many other people of religion. They are respected because those men are genuine human beings. Genuine human beings. They are not selfishly working on this earth. They are working for the good of all people. But I know of others. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, many, many countries have great intellect, great Muslim personalities who are meeting with Christians, Jews, Buddhists, and others. So that there be some coming together, some cooperation. For our work having greater impact, greater effect on this earth. I love that idea. I have become a much more determined and dedicated Muslim because I have come into that perception and into that idea. When I was just seeing Islam as something for Muslims, I didn't have the great commitment and determination that I have now. It was only after I saw the connection and saw that we have plenty of help. You know, if we don't have anybody but the Muslims, future doesn't look too good. And I would say to the Jews, if they have nobody but themselves, the future doesn't look too good. But when we see that we are allies, the future looks very good. And I believe that's how come the future is not as bad, the present, pardon me, is not as bad as it is. It is because we do have that cooperation, but we want more of that cooperation. And we want it to be known on the grassroots level, as they say, and I don't like the term grassroots. Or mass, I don't like the masses either. I don't like any of that language. Grassroots, the masses, I don't like any of that language. But I just haven't come up with my language yet that I'm pleased with. So I have to use this language. We want that awareness to be shared by the grassroots, by the masses of people. So that we are not kept out of the great dignity that God has created us for. There is no dignity greater than Khalifa for us. We can call ourselves black and black gods or whatever, but a black god has never been, as to me, as dignified or as powerful as the black Khalifa. And we can call ourselves white gods, but in my opinion, no white god can ever be as powerful and as dignified and as valuable to society as a black Khalifa, a white Khalifa. So to me, Khalifa complements us more than any other thing we could call ourselves. We can call ourselves black gods, or favorite people of God, white gods. No, we know better. Something in the human nature just tells us that I can only have that with the shades drawn on the window. I can't open the windows up and let all the light in. You know, something inside. You know, nobody can ever tell us we are God long enough or strong enough to make us feel comfortable believing that with the shades pulled back from the windows in daylight, when day comes. I'm comfortable with the great honor that God has given me. And when I say me, I'm talking about human beings. I'm comfortable with the great honor that God has given human beings in calling us the Khalifa, his trusted agent on this earth. Thank you very much. May we work for the common good, for
righteousness and for peace. Amen.
Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. We are trying, I see the mayor is here. What we would like to do is, Mayor Bill Pascarell, Patterson, New Jersey, he wants to present the man with a proclamation. And, Mayor, come up. From the city of Patterson, a growing city, one we intend to get back on the map with such leadership, Mayor Bill Pascarell. Good afternoon, everyone. The weather never stops us in Patterson, New Jersey, and we're welcome everyone here, everyone, and I hope you feel welcome being in Patterson, New Jersey today. This is a great opportunity for me. Just a short while ago, in Newark, New Jersey, I, along with several other mayors in New Jersey, were recognized by the Muslim community of New Jersey. That was a very, very special award to me. When I raised my hand 2.5 years ago to be the mayor of this great city, I made a solemn commitment to my God, to the citizens of this city. And that commitment was that everybody is going to receive equal and fair regard. In a community that has 53 different ethnic groups, the most diverse city in this state, there shall not be any established religion, and there shall be respect for all religions in Patterson, New Jersey. I believe I've kept that commitment, and I will continue. It's important to me. And I can remember 15, 20 years ago in this city, when people were frightened by the word Muslim. Frightened. So people grew up. Most of the time, anyway. Most of the time. Say, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, spokesman for Muslim Americans. You've established direct and genuine dialogue between leaders of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And whereas in an unprecedented move, you were the first and only American ever invited to attend the 10th annual Islamic Conference of Ministers of Foreign Affairs in Fez, Morocco. And whereas our imam represented Muslims at the World Parliament of Religious Leaders in Oxford, England, and at other religious conferences throughout the world, you have brought honor, attention, and renewed respect to the Islamic world. Now, therefore, as mayor of the city of Patterson, I do hereby proclaim this day as Imam W. Dean Muhammad Day in the city of Patterson, New Jersey, with the full seal of our city. I do not wish to interfere with more important things today. I leave you with this one thought. As I will ask my church that I go to on Sunday, and other churches that I've been to yesterday and today, Let us pray that the strife that exists in India today between Hindu and Muslim will end. Nothing good can come of it. It is something that we need to watch very carefully and try to assist. I'm honored that you have invited me here. The door is always open to the mayor's office. And this young man,
once again, everyone, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.